Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
This past Friday night was what? Okay, thank you for the one person who heard me. It was what again? 4th of July. Okay, all right. So we celebrated Independence Day, right? So I'm going to try to do this. I'm no historian, obviously, so I'm going to try to get this right, okay? So back a few years ago, we all know how this happened. Some of you went to school. Some of you, I question. July 4th, 1776, right? America was born. We had the 13 colonies. They decided they were sick and tired of the tyranny they were dealing with, so they decided to get together, sign a document saying they were declaring their independence from Britain, right? They decided, we're not going to put up with your taxes, all the things you're doing. We're going to go our own ways. If only we could change the taxes now. Okay? I understand. All right, these brave men basically decided they were going to put their names out there. They were risking things to put their actual names down on a piece of paper, but they decided that it was worth it to fight for their independence, their freedom. They decided that that is what they were wanting. So they decided from this day forward, our lives are going to be different. From this moment forward, we're going to live a different way. And because of that, we now have a very blessed nation, right? In America, we are born into a very free country to where we can choose to basically any religion. Some of them are wrong, but that's okay. We're going to pray for them. But you can choose anything here in America. We're a very free nation where we were able to walk through those doors and we don't have to worry and suffer that we could be thrown in jail or killed because we believe in Jesus. Okay, so we are thankful for the fact that we are a very blessed nation. So Friday, we celebrated it, of course, the way only Americans can do. We took the day off of work. Okay, great. I love taking the day off of work. All right, and then, of course, we blew things up. All right. If you guys were here Thursday night, you saw how excited Pastor Jeff was. He literally was on vacation, came in so he could blow things up, and then went back on vacation. Okay. That's how excited he was to be here. He sent us pictures. He drove all the way to South Carolina to get them, took pictures in Jabs. He doesn't take pictures of himself. And he took selfies in there showing the fireworks that he was bringing back. He was very excited, a kid on Christmas morning. And then, of course, the only thing we can do in America to celebrate July 4th is eating hot dogs. Did you guys watch the hot dog eating contest the other day? That is disgusting. That dude ate 70 and a half hot dogs. Ugh. That was the worst thing I've seen. All right, so we've had a great time 4th of July. I didn't mention this earlier, but I want to stress this again. Your giving that you just did here a second ago, we want to thank you for that. And the reason we want to thank you for that is Thursday night, we were able to celebrate here on campus. We were able to give out free burgers, hot dogs, chips, drinks. We had a couple of food vendors, but we were able to do all that. We had great inflatables. Shout out to Bastion's. Okay, we had all this stuff here on campus. That only happens because you guys give and give us the opportunity to bless the community. I need you to understand that your money isn't just, their tithes that you're putting in isn't just going into the coffers, okay? This was set up so we could have people who were unchurched on campus. We were able to show them the love of Jesus. We were able to have a good time. And prayerfully, we were able to open doors for invite them to come in and to receive the word. Okay, that is the whole reason we did it. So, and we celebrate, as again, in this country, we celebrate freedom. We celebrate it. We should never take it for granted. We should never take what we have for granted. If you ever look around the world, again, there are countries where they can't celebrate Jesus. They have to do it quietly. They have fear of repercussions because of their faith. There are places where it's not possible, but we have complete freedom here. The problem is that we think we have complete freedom. What we have is a version of it at points. So today we're going to discuss what it means to truly have freedom, okay? To have true freedom in your life. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 8. We're going to start in verse 34. John 8, 34. And we're going to do 34 and 36. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. But skipping down to 36, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Okay? I know I'm skipping a verse there, but I'm trying to go with context here. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Again, if I could go back to the beginning, how did we get here? How did we end up in this sinful situation? So I apologize. I do youth ministry. I probably should do children's ministry. I don't know. But I'm going to start very basic all the way back at the beginning. Of course, we know the story of Adam and Eve, right? Perfect situation. They're in the garden. God has given them everything they need. And yet they were enticed to do the thing that they were not supposed to do. The devil showed up. And he tempted them to take of the tree, which they were told not to take of. And they chose to take that tree, take the fruit off of it, and they chose to eat it. Now, because of that choice that Adam and Eve made, because of that choice, now sin has entered into the world. And now man is born with a sin nature. That means that we have a propensity. That's the word. I couldn't say it right. We have a desire to basically sin. Our flesh wants to go against what God wants. Our flesh desires to do whatever makes us happy. Our flesh does not necessarily desire to do all the things that God wants, because when we do the things that God wants, that requires sacrifice, and no one wants to give up of themselves. They want to only gain. So sin has entered into the world, and now we have this problem to where now, because sin has entered into the world, it has now separated us from the Lord. So now we have to bring in blood sacrifice. Now, if you look through the whole Old Testament, now we have to bring in animal sacrifice for an atonement to cover up the sins that we have committed. We have to shed blood in order to do that. It's all through the Old Testament. You can see time after time where someone's riding high with the Lord and all of a sudden they mess up and they've got to make a sacrifice. The nation of Israel will be so close to the Lord and all of a sudden they get tempted and sway the other side and they choose their free will and they feel like they have complete freedom and they go after something they shouldn't and now they're having to atone for it. It's time after time, a sick cycle. But then we have Jesus arriving on the scene. Born of a virgin, shows up here, willingly offers himself to be the sacrifice for us, to be the once and all atonement for us, to where we no longer have to bring things into the church, the temple, to sacrifice. We don't have to bring animals, doves, cows, whatever. We don't have to bring that stuff in anymore. Jesus has cleared the way to where now it is no longer about following a set rules, trying to screw those up all the time, but now it's about having a true relationship with him. So now that's where we are. That's our first point, is freedom from sin. We should never take that for granted. We know that everyone has sinned. Romans 3:23 tells us that. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's every single person. Every single person at some point sins and separates themselves from the Lord. And what does that separation lead to? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so how do we overcome this sin that we are dealing with, the sin that is infected so much, the sin that we do sometimes, whether we realize it or not, we're doing this sin. Now it is separating us from the Lord, so what can I do to fix it? Well, I can be a really good person. I can do really good things. And I can just balance out the scales and everything will be fine, right? No, that's not how it works. I want to stress that again. You cannot be a good enough person. You will hear that all over social media. You will hear that from people that are just trying to live their lives and do the things that make them happy. So they think that if I just do enough good, it doesn't really matter what the bad is because my good outweighs my bad. That is factually incorrect. You can never be good enough on your own. Again, you were born with a sin nature. Right. It is not the level of the sin that separates you. There is no separation between gossip and murder. Right. Sin is sin. Okay, so we need to clarify. Just because you haven't done as bad as somebody else does not mean you have not separated yourself from the Lord. Okay, the only way to correct it, Jesus. He willingly got onto the cross. He decided that he was going to do it for you. Romans 5:8, my favorite verse in the Bible. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So even though I don't deserve it, even though I have separated myself, Christ loved me to the point where he was willingly getting on that cross, taking the beating that I deserve, and he took it all for me so that I could still grow close to the Lord, have a relationship with him, and be separated from the sin that I have brought in. Amen. His blood atoned for it all. Yes. He willingly did that. That is how much God loves us, how much Christ loves us, that he was willing to do that for us. I think we should never take that for granted. Romans 5, 18 and 19. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Adam screwed it all up, enslaved us to sin. And I want to stress that word, enslaved us to sin. Never take for granted what that sin is actually doing. It is more than just a good time. It is enslaving you to that sin. You don't realize the damage that you are doing to yourself and those around you by committing those sins. But the cost is very great. Adam screwed it up, so we are enslaved to sin, but yet Jesus showed up and fixed it all for us, bringing us that wonderful news. Romans 6 and 7 says, "For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin." So that means when I have given my life to the Lord, when you give your life to the Lord, as in you have called upon him and asked him to become your Lord and Savior, you have asked him to come into your heart. When you have done those things, it changes everything. Because he forgave you, he has set you free from the power of sin, and now you can experience true freedom in him. I can still remember, vaguely. I can still remember at 17 years old playing the church game of going to church just because I was required to go to church. That was the rule in my house. Once I got my license, I was required to go to church somewhere once a week. Tough rule, okay? I decided at 17 one day I was going to go to church with my grandmother. Been to church with my grandmother. I didn't like going to church with my grandmother very much. They were Pentecostal. They would sing the same song 15 times in a row. I got used to my mom's church. They were in at 11, out at 11:59. I liked them. They were punctual. Okay, so at 17, I decided that one day I'm going to go to church with my grandma. And I can remember feeling the urge of the Holy Spirit sitting there, and I could no longer sit in my chair. And I remember ending up on this side of the altar, different altar, obviously, ended up on this side of the altar. And I remember sitting there and just crying out to God that I can't do this anymore. I can't play around with the sin. See, I was at the point where I didn't want to serve God because in my head, serving God, asking him to be my Lord and Savior, that meant giving up. That meant giving up things that I knew I shouldn't be doing, but I kind of liked doing. That meant giving up and changing my heart and my life, and I didn't really want to do that because I was comfortable in the sin that I was in, even though I was enslaved and didn't realize it. I was on my way to hell, but I was enjoying it. But yet that day, I remember coming to the altar. I remember my Royal Ranger commander showed up. Lord, he was sick of dealing with me. He showed up and he was praying over me. My grandma showed up and prayed. And I remember that day, finally, no longer playing the game of church where I would come up to the altar because my friend came up. But that day, I made a serious commitment to the Lord and it changed my life. And I remember sitting there and I remember the biggest burden being lifted off of me. The biggest bit of freedom I've ever felt in my life. And I remember going home that night. This is back when CDs were a thing. And I broke every one of those CDs that I didn't want to give up. It's like $400 worth of stuff. That time, that was a lot of money, okay? Doesn't go very far now. But I remember how free it felt that I was no longer shackled by the sin that I was choosing, but rather I was following after him. That is what it means to have true freedom from sin by calling on the Lord and asking him to come into your heart and change you. Amen. Okay, if you are taking notes, we're going to second point here. Freedom comes through truth. Okay, freedom comes through truth. John 8, 31 and 32 says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Okay, in order to be set free and to remain free means that we have to know what Jesus has taught and to then obey it. Okay, so we have to know what Jesus has taught and we have to obey it. In order to know it, you actually have to read it. In order to read it and understand it, that means you have to take time and energy and put in there. That means you can't just skim through it. I get an email once a day of a daily Bible verse. That does not qualify as studying your word and actually knowing it and obeying it, okay? Yeah, you have to actually have to dive into this. I've actually had to I used to do the audio version of my Bible. I can't do that anymore. I actually have to crack it open and look at it and stuff because I don't understand all these names. They all sound the same. Okay? So I have to actually get in there and dive into it and study it to understand what the truth, because that truth, if I truly understand it, will help me to be free and to stay free. Okay? I tell this to our teenagers all the time. I get nervous. Praise God, you're going to a Christian college in a couple months. But I get nervous at the kids when they're graduating and they're leaving, because I truly believe that there are professors that their only goal is there to take Christian kids and twist their theology. Okay? If you don't understand, it's not just our teenagers, it's you. You, even as adults. If you only believe something because your grandmother said it 30 years ago, but you don't actually know where the scripture is, that doesn't count. That's not the word in your heart. That's a rumor you've heard, and you don't even know if it's true. Okay, if you don't know the word, then it could be twisted against you as well. Okay? All right, let me move on. I'm sorry. You need to make sure that you know it. You need to make sure that you're devoting your life to it. This needs to be your decision maker. Amen. It is not what the news tells you. It's not what Facebook. I sound like Pastor Jeff up here. It's not Facebook. Okay? It's none of those things. It's actually what this says. This will help you make every decision in your life, whether you're questioning anything. Did Jesus tell you to do it? You probably don't do it. Okay? That's how we should characterize all of it, because if we're able to do that, I know it may seem like a chore reading it. Look, some of the Old Testament still confuses me. All right? I'll have to get with Pastor Rudolph and he'll have to explain it to me. All right? But if you get into it and study it and learn it, it will help you through everything. Okay? So take it. Take time, put into learning that. Learn to do this, because if you can maintain your relationship with the Lord, get into His Word, then you know what you do? You'll begin to hear His voice. You'll begin to hear Him as He's guiding you and as He's protecting you. You won't make the same mistakes that you used to make, because you won't be making it by emotion, but you'll be making it by Scripture, and you'll have a foundation for it, and it won't be something that just swings this way and swings that way, but it'll be a steady stream of decisions that all follows after the Lord, and you will have complete freedom because you know the truth. Amen. All right. Our third point here. We're moving fast. That's okay. Our third point. Freedom comes through the Holy Spirit. Pastor Jeff just spent several weeks coming out of basically a Pentecost Sunday, spent several weeks talking about the need that we have for the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit moving and operating in our lives. We need Him to help us and to minister to us. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 says, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Okay, it's not my words. These are His words. He's saying that we need the Holy Spirit in us so we can have complete freedom. Okay, this is the way it works. We need the power of the Holy Spirit moving and operating in our lives. I try to tell this verse to our teenagers at point. John 10:10, right? The devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's what his heart's desire is, to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want you walking around in freedom. He does not want you walking around in joy. He wants to see you weak and cowering all the time. He wants to see you struggling. That brings him joy to see you struggling. But it says in that same verse, "But Jesus has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly." Okay, we should never take that for granted. If we want to have that abundant life, then we need the power of the Holy Spirit moving and operating inside of us, because the enemy is trying to take us out. The enemy is using everything he can to distract and to discourage us from following after the Lord. Okay, if it's not your phone, if it's not your phone, it'll be your coworker, it'll be your family member, it'll be somebody just saying something you don't like at Walmart, okay, to distract you, to discourage you, to mess you up, and to try to get you focused on anything else but Him, to have you moving and operating outside of the power of the Holy Spirit, to have you basically operating in your emotions and your own power and authority that you think is good enough, and what you're really doing is taking basically what the Holy Spirit has given you, that freedom, and every time you step away from Him, that you're no longer seeking after Him, and I mean daily seeking after Him, not thinking that what you got last Sunday is going to be able to carry you through, because it won't. It was really good that day, but you need to seek it every single day in order to maintain that steady relationship with Him. Because every day that you step further away from Him and further away from Him, you're lining yourself back up to be put back in those shackles, because now you're moving and operating inside of your emotions, your power, and your ability, and we know where that got you the first time. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit moving and operating inside of us so that we can overcome what this world is trying to do to destroy us. Again, there will come a time Scripture basically tells you there will come a time where you will suffer actual persecution for your faith. And if you do not have the power of the Holy Spirit moving and operating inside of you, you may be swayed to go away from the Lord because you're worried the cost that it might happen to you. When you have the power of the Holy Spirit moving and operating inside of you, what his last message was, you will have boldness, right? You will have boldness to where you're not worried about what anybody says, what anybody does. All you care about is the Lord moving and operating inside of you because you know that who is in you is greater than who is in this world. That's what you need. When you're trying to do it without that, I will tell you from experience, it doesn't work well. So we need the Holy Spirit helping us, ministering to us, uplifting us. PK, we're going to keep this short. If you don't mind starting to play, we're going to keep this short. The fourth point here. Now that we have the Holy Spirit moving and operating inside of us, freedom comes with responsibility. Freedom comes with responsibility. It is great to have freedom. It is great to have free will. It's great to have all that stuff. But freedom comes with responsibility. I can remember almost 21 years ago this month, when Heather and I got married. I remember how exciting it was when we were finally getting out on our own. Okay? When I first met my wife, God bless her, they only watched black and white television in her house. I was on the other end of the spectrum. We watched way too much. So we kind of met, and we were trying to get to the middle. And I remember she was excited, but a little more freedom, be able to do whatever she wanted to do. And I was excited. God bless my mom, but I was excited to get out of there. But I realized that it was great to get out on our own and have that freedom together. But sometimes freedom isn't all it's cracked up to be. Just because you have the option to do something does not mean that you should. Because not everything that you can do is actually beneficial. There are things that you can do just because you have the option that are truly detrimental to you. Detrimental to your faith, your health, everything. Detrimental to your relationships if you're not careful. So just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it, because with freedom comes responsibility. And what we learned in our early marriage, as God began to, as we matured, because you were 19, I was 20, so we were super mature at that time. As we matured physically and we matured spiritually, the Lord began to speak to us and tell us that we had to change some things. That we had to alter some aspects of our walk with Him. Of how we were living, what we were allowing into our house, what we were saying, all these things. We began to have to change those things because God wanted us to do things very differently. He began to put up guardrails for us. And with the better the guardrails, the higher those guardrails, the less we were slipping out and sliding back to things we shouldn't. And the more we stayed close to Him because we decided that we were going to try to be responsible in our faith and our walk with Him and try our hardest in our own abilities. And then we learned more about the power of the Holy Spirit and began to dive into that. But we began to walk closer to the Lord. And it wasn't this sick cycle of doing really good and then really bad and then really good and then really bad. But it was more just staying with Him and steadily inclining rather than the up and down. True freedom from the Lord requires change. Once you come to the Lord and He becomes Savior for you, when He becomes Lord of your life, you cannot live like everybody else. 1 Peter 2:16 says, "For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil." Okay? You, I'm stressing this, you cannot live like the rest of the world. You are literally called to be a city on a hill, set apart, to be a beacon of hope for everyone that is around you. You are literally supposed to be the embodiment of Jesus. Not saying you are Jesus, but you're supposed to show Him wherever you go. So that means your coworker, your family member, whoever's dealing with something, whoever is struggling, they should be able to turn and look at you and say, "I'm going through something. Can you pray for me?" Amen. You should be that obvious, whether they've spoken to you or not. They should be able to tell that you're not like everybody else at the office. Something about you is different. And the Holy Spirit can move and operate through you. Obviously, if you have him working through you, and he can open up doors for you to speak and minister to someone else. You are supposed to be set apart. But you cannot stand out and be that beacon of hope for those that are around you if you're acting just like them. That's camouflage at that point. You look just like them. They look past you. You're supposed to be able to stand out, be different. That's what we're called to be, is different. Because different grabs attention, right? And that's what we want. That's our heart's desire. That's why we did Thursday night. Now, I know Pastor Jeff wanted to throw off fireworks, but we didn't do it just for that. We did it to get people on campus. We wanted to show them the love of Jesus. We wanted to show them we're not just a church, but we're truly Christ followers. And if you're going through something, we will stop and pray for you. We gave a list earlier. That's not even the full list. These are people who have messaged in and said, I'm going through something. Will you please pray for me? The list that we get online, the list that we get from everyone who fills out stuff, we pray for those every Tuesday morning when we have staff meeting. We're not just doing this so we can collect information. We take time to pray for that because we believe that we need to be different. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that if we do these things, then people's lives can be changed. We want to be different. We don't want to just be another big building. We don't. We want to stand out, not for our benefit, but for his. We want to stand apart from everyone else. But in order to do that, it requires responsibility. It requires change. It requires living the right way. It requires spending time with him. It requires a true, open, and honest relationship with him. It does not count. Praise God you are here today. Praise God you braved the weather and came. But this isn't a check mark for you to have a greater spot in heaven because you sat down. That means nothing. We shouldn't forsake the fellowship. We need to get together and uplift each other. But church attendance doesn't mean anything. It comes down to a relationship and a changed life. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to take a moment. Close your eyes, bow your heads for a second. I want you to take stock for a moment. Take stock for a moment and just talk to the Lord about your personal life right now. You have freedom of choice, freedom for anything that you want to do. Take a moment and ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Where are you in your walk with him? Is it exactly where it's supposed to be? Is he Lord and Savior in your life at this moment? Because if he is not Lord and Savior in your life at this moment, then that is the first and most important thing that needs to change. And praise God, that can just change in a moment. Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus is Lord, then we can be saved. So that means if he is not your Lord and Savior, that today all we have to do is pray out of our mouths and believe with our heart that Jesus is Lord. And just call on him and ask him to come into our hearts. And everything can be changed from this moment forward for you. If that's you today and you're saying that I need to get my life right, nobody's looking, I'm just asking that you just raise your hand and say that I need to get it right with the Lord. Thank you for that hand. Father, I give you thanks. I give you thanks, Holy Spirit, that you are moving and operating. I thank you for the tugging that you place on that heart. I pray, God, that you would speak to them. I pray that they would call out to you right now, that they would ask you to come into their heart, be Lord of their life, forgiveness of sin, and that you would guide their steps from this day forward. God, that there would be no going back to the way it was, but from this moment forward is serving you with everything that they have. God, we thank you. We praise you because we do not deserve to have that relationship with you, but you love us that much that you see past our mistakes and you cover them with your blood. And from this day forward, it is different. we just praise you for it in the name of Jesus.